They have it. They don't die on the turn. Most maidens die on the turn even when they win.
If they have a...
Just find out what's close enough is by your own check. That is a dynamite reason that maidens win their first race out. And my astute competition discovered that and created what is known as a maiden module. What they did, they put part-times into it, and the maiden that comes close to the part-times is most likely to win the race. Fortunately, we published it 3 years ahead of it, so we have no compunctions. Any other questions? I have a lot of energy. Sir?
Yeah, what do you guys do with mud?
We glaze it. We water, isn't it? Oh, come on.
We don't pay attention. Well, how was the track yesterday? No, I don't. See, these guys play West Coast. I play the world.
You don't try to seek out a mud pace line or anything like that?
Well, I would seek out the other way around. How is this horse done under today's conditions before? Every time he's a real world beater and you see a mud, he's beaten 15 lengths. You might hint to yourself that this horse isn't going to do too well in the mud. Look at the shoe board. Whatever that is.
Fox.
Shoe box. They got a thing to tell you what shoes they're wearing. Yeah. And if the trainer isn't going to put mud cocks on him or something, he probably didn't expect him to win today. He's just going out for exercise. But look to see what equipment he won.
But you don't interpret your readouts any different than you would in the fast track.
What was this track running yesterday? Anybody know? It was running very slowly, I know. Was there mud out there or anything?
No, it's deep, though.
It's deep? I didn't notice what it was. And somebody asked me this morning, I felt very sheepish because I had no idea what the condition of the track was. That's the beauty of not knowing anything about a track. Is that you have all sorts of high expectations. You don't know everything the locals know. You can have to win on a Wednesday. For Thursday. But local people, you've got to discount what they say because they're rationalizing losses by mud, trainer switches, jockey. I don't know what it was running at. It's so slow, I know, because they have faster times. They've been heavy, but the best horses won. The best horses win in the mud, too. Now, one of these extreme situations, like where the jockeys threaten to quit and everything. My answer to that was, don't go. I mean, you have a situation that's so bad where the jockeys are meeting and saying, we won't ride today, that kind of thing, where it's covered with it, and we have sleet and snow on the track in New York. I'd just not go. Win a lot more on the days when you feel comfortable. It's your comfort that counts more than what the method will do in the mud. See, if you don't think it's going to work in the mud, then something will go on subconsciously, and you'll do something. Make some compensation that's not viable. But generally speaking, if you can get to the track and not get rained on, it's a good track. It's all right. But if you feel uncomfortable out there and you get wet and sticky and you walk through the thing and your shoes are all muddy and you feel very uncomfortable, just turn around and go home. Or don't go. That's all I can say is that if it bothers you, it's going to bother you and it's going to hurt you. If it doesn't bother you, if you're oblivious to it, when it helps to be old and getting senile because none of these things ever bother you anymore.
Well, you're naturally going to lean to horses that are out humming in the mud.
Well, I'm going to be less likely to bet some horses who every time he runs in an off track does real badly. And I'll get bit on that sometime. This is the day they're going to change, you know. But if you feel uncomfortable, my suggestion would always be to pass. Because you've got to feel comfortable. If you feel confident, the horses sensitive. Sure, they know. They had fellow. Well, now wait a minute. When you were losing, you knew that they had senses. What you're doing? That horse, I bet on him and he loses. I don't bet on him and he wins. That horse has got it out for me. I have many horses. Hey, he's got it in for me. Well, just think the other way around. Send him beautiful messages. You're not hurt. You're not lame. You don't need that beauty. Come on, win for me. It may not really work, but if you convince yourself it works, it's just as good. That was a facetious answer, but it's pretty much true. Just don't go with it. If you feel uncomfortable going to the track, the horse probably feels uncomfortable. You know,
X's and O's will help them.
I sure will. Oh, yeah. That's really the serious answer. Go back and do an X and O on every line of horse and see where your O's are. Off track, forget him. But if you've got a lot of pluses on a muddy track, there's your horse. Mud barks still count for something too. Or those things they put in there for their off track marks. Asterisks and crosses, dots, zeros.
I run into that problem at Birmingham. See, I have no idea until I get to the track what Arlington was going to run. When I got down here, it was sunny in Birmingham. I got down to the track, and here it is sloppy at Arlington. First thing that comes to my mind was I had to make a decision whether I should stop, not play, or go on with what I had done. And I had enough confidence in the system, and I wanted to play it exactly the way they were, and I get 4 out of 5.
As a Methodist, you know, the system's a dirty word you can't use.
Yeah.
That's like using the four-letter words which you don't allow. System is a four-letter word, that's why. Anyhow, you have the E it is. Yeah, if it's sunny where you are, don't worry about what it's like at the track. That's his philosophy, and it works. Except when it's so extreme. You know, there are days in the Midwest especially, and at Birmingham too, any place where you're subject to huge flash flooding, there are days when you better stay home. Do some of this experimentation I'm talking about. But generally speaking, we when we go to Vegas, we don't pay any attention. We might lose more than we would have before, but in playing volume, it'll all make up for itself. I promise you that. I know that playing in volume overcomes all the individual problems. That's the biggest problem with horse players. They get to looking at trees and overlook the forest, and they worry about all sorts of things. My answer to that is, if you're worried about it, don't do it. Until such time as you cleanse yourself and have no more worries. And we have, most of us here have no more worries. Dick don't worry about nothing. If you asked him anything we'd said in this hour and a half, he wouldn't be able to tell you one thing.
Oh yes, I would.
It's oblivious. Okay, he's going to have to become unoblivious now because he's going to take you through some velocity. You got to bear in mind that Dick is pretty much of a regional player, or worker, or what do you want to call him, and I'm not. So I might chime in sometimes because I know most of the tracks in the country better than I know Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, Delmar.
Like hell, when I'm talking, nobody chimes in.
Here it is, Ditchman.
Yeah. How many want a bathroom break?
Yeah.
Okay. Piddle break.
All right. Let's do that for
you're missing my golden pearls, though. Be back in 5 minutes.
Well, it's whatever it takes. Don't cut yourself off.
Well, you let me.
We're short.
Did you see this note?
Yes.
You know what the cord is three?
It says break at three. You're going to be 50 minutes early.
That means we'll get out of here. Unless you can't hear me in the back. How many in here are real true beginners? You've had the thing for under 3 months. You don't know what the hell's going on, and everything that Howard just told you confused the absolute hell out of you. Yeah. You don't know what he was talking about. Come on, what's an MUV? You never heard of that term before. All of what he was talking about is our newest program. And Howard has a short attention span. He gets bored by this old stuff. He's got the new stuff, and he loves to talk about it. And the new stuff is better than the old stuff, but it's kind of like learning to run before you walk. Before you can use energy and move on with that, you have to understand where we started from. And at one time, we thought, well, energy is so revolutionary and so wonderful, we'll give it to everybody. We thought that. And that didn't work out very well. It turns out that you sort of have to recreate the historical journey that we all took from velocity into the energy concepts for it to work on an optimal basis. And so I'm going to address myself just to those who are brand new. If you're not brand new,
you're going to hear some stuff that's pretty old and tired and that you may not be using anymore, and you're welcome just to sit there and shut up. I'm going to talk to the new folks because they're the ones who really need the help. Howard talked about inventing a new language, and the problem the newcomers have is that we don't speak English in here, we speak Sartan. And if you don't understand what we're saying, if everything just keeps going right over your head, you're going to be in real trouble. Now, tomorrow, we're going to break into two groups. All you newcomers will stay with the Velocity group, and we'll go over in detail some things. But we have some experienced Velocity users. We have a number of charter members, Bob Purdy, for instance, here, sitting here, who have chosen to remain within Velocity rather than move on to Energy, simply because it still works for them. It works as well as it ever did, and they're more comfortable with it. Those numbers speak to them. The energy concepts don't necessarily. Please don't get in your head that there is a best program, a best way, a path that you must follow. You start here, you do this, you do this. That's not true. What you want to find is the program that works best for you. And the fact that the program works best for me does not necessarily make it right for you. Don't get overawed by experts. Just because a guy stands up here and tells you this is good, this is bad, does not make it true. Validate everything that all of us say. If Howard says APV is a valuable thing and that you must use it, and you try using it and it doesn't work, who's right?
It works, though.
Yeah, well, okay. It works. But if it doesn't work for you, then is it valid?
Make it work for you.
Is it valid? Actually, I was looking at it yesterday. I don't think it had much validity at some of the races that I looked at yesterday at this track. And I saw a horse that had two wins and hadn't broken $1,000 in earnings yet. But I think it would probably crank on just like it does. Actually, we found that APV in class works better at cheap tracks. And I want to tell you guys have got a gold mine sitting out there. You got some seriously, seriously good prices coming at you. We had a $23 horse, $18 horse, both stickouts yesterday. Wonderful place to play. Wonderful. We all had to walk home lopsided from our wallets weighing us down.
For you.
So let me talk to the beginners. First thing is that terminology. Now, most of you should have gotten a style sheet, if you will, or a definition sheet telling you what things like back to W, early, sustained are. Is anyone confused about that kind of language? Would like definition? Good. I used to spend half an hour reading that and droning on. Do you all understand that when we say sustained, sustained is not just a clever way of saying late. Sustained is an absolute thing. It is a formula, black and white. You take early place plus third fraction, you add them together, you divide by two, that's sustained phase. No questions in anyone's mind. You know how factor W is done? Who's let me see a newcomer. Who's a newcomer? Come on, you put your hands up. There's a new. How's Factor W, computer?
I'm totally on this.
Well, then why didn't you raise your hand? You told me that if I was talking to you.
I did.
You're the one that I was talking to. You don't know what early and sustained are.
You just put us in for an extra half hour.
Thank you.
I have been reading it, but I'm not getting everything.
Okay. The reason I want to talk to you is we're going to say things like this horse has an advantage early. And you're going to say, boy, this horse is going to be in the lead at the first call. And that's not what we mean. He may not be. Early in the Sartan methodology is from, and I'll just draw a racetrack up here. Early is from the start. We're going to use a 6 furlong race here. Let's start a 6 furlong about there, don't they? Most finish lines are about here. And your quarter poles would be there and there. Everyone, this look familiar to anybody? Yeah. Okay. Early pace is from the start to here. The second call. This is first fraction and second fraction. That's early pace. What we're going to do is we're going to convert that into feet per second. Everyone understand feet per second? Think miles per hour. Huey Moll used miles per hour. Everyone knows what that is. You got a speedometer on your car. Imagine a horse with a speedometer right back here in the back of its head. Look down, I'm going 42 miles an hour, or I'm going 61 feet per second. Feet per second was just easier to do with calculators. So we use feet per second.
Or leagues per week.
Yeah, you can do anything, you know. Yards per eon. You know, what's the weight of the world in bushels? You know, things. There's a lot of things you can do with this. But don't get sidetracked. Feet per second is what we're going to use universally. They won't admit it, but even energy has a little feet per second in it. Sustained? Let me look at this one. Third fraction is from the second call to the end of the race. Now, it can be different lengths. The 6.5 furlong, they don't change this ever. They back this part up. They move the starting gate around because they got a camera and a mirror and all kinds of stuff set up here and TV things and lights. So they can't move that finish line very easily. But they can, so they just move the starting gate around. Which means that this point moves around. One of the things you ought to know when you go to the races is, where's the second call of 7 furlong? Be able to close your eyes, point. That pole over there. Where's the second call of 6.5 there? Because it's different, and that can really influence how a race runs. You'll find out here at the Woodlands. Why do they call a track the Woodlands that does not have a tree? Not one! I looked! Not a tree! It's got some grass, but no tree. You'll find the 5.5 start up here, pretty close to this turn, and they tend to run kind of sustained. Why? Because no animal, no motorcycle, no car, nothing can go around a turn as fast as it can go down a straight. And so they start into the turn. And we have a problem?
No.
Good. Okay. And they have to slow down a little bit, which means they got a little bit left, and the race takes place here. Shape of the track influences what we're doing. Anyway, third fraction. We'll do that in feet per second. This is early. You take early and the third fraction, add them together, divide by 2, sustained pace. Take early again, add it with sustained pace, divide it in 2, back to W. Back to W is sort of a universal. If you don't know the track, you have no idea what's going on, you start looking at back to W. It's an overall rating, and it's the first one that Howard came up with that actually won. Had the winner in the top 3 or 4, 67% of the time. Something like that. You'll notice it's got an awful lot of early pace in it. It's got 3 parts early to one part late. Because, as Huey Moll pointed out, the second call, particularly the position at the second call, is the most important part of a race. In a route, same thing is done. Second call is at the 6 furlong mark as opposed to the 4. But the formula remains exactly the same. The numbers will be slightly different. The route numbers will always be lower simply because they've run further and they've decelerated. All right? Everyone on the same page? Because I want to keep... If you miss this part, a lot of what we do tomorrow and a lot of what we do tonight are going to go right on over. So don't be shy. This is the beginners. Just because there's 40 other people sucking along here saying... Well, I'll go because I got nothing else to do. Don't let that intimidate you. We ought to throw all these other bums out of here and just let this lady sit here and ask questions.
Keeps them out of the bar.
Yeah, keeps them out of the bar. What more? And tonight, you know, we'll be formal and have all that stuff. I'll even wear long pants. Now, I'm a handicapper. I don't take orders from anyone. I dress like I want to. All questions answered?
You understand?
I'm burly and stained and fashioned. What we want to do is we want to show you how you track these factors or any other factors we have, put together a profile of what the track is doing, put together a model of what your handicapping is doing, try to bring them all together and aid you in selection. If you have a horse that's number one early and number five sustained, is that a good bet? The answer is you don't know. The answer is I don't know. But we'll try to give you the tools to answer that question so that when you see a horse who's number one early and five sustained, or number five early and one sustained, is that a good bet? The answer is no one in the world knows but you. And you'll be able to answer that question when you leave here this weekend. You'll have all the tools you need to figure that kind of thing out.
The biggest point he's made is don't confuse sustained with late.
Absolutely. My friend Mark Kramer, who used to edit Gambling Times, liked the word sustained. He thought it sounded good. Dick Mitchell does the same thing. It just sounds good. They don't use the formula. They just took the word. And for them, they say, well, there's a very sustained horse. They mean a late closer. And remember what sustained is? Third fraction and early, which is to the second call. That means they're balanced. A horse that comes late and just has third fraction does not necessarily get very good sustained pace. And the reason that we do that is that because of the fact that we have learned over a long period of time that a horse is not there at the second call rarely wins a race. Now, our programs will give you a third fraction, too, and I've heard that at times when Belmont and the rain and things like that, you just bet the top third fraction and forget it. I guess at the fairgrounds down in Louisiana it happens that way. But most of the time, you're going to find that these numbers are very viable. And the good news is that if the numbers aren't viable, this particular number isn't viable, there's always another one that is. We've gone all over the country. We wander into tracks that we've never seen before. We pick up these numbers, and we win with them. I've never seen a track that it didn't work at. Maybe it takes us a few races to learn. First time I went to Omaha, we had no idea how it was going to run, and we just guessed. We thought the sprints would be early and the routes would be late.